We know agricultural educators.
And we know that the job is hard work.
Here to make your job easy is Owl Pellets, where we are regurgitating information just for you.
Well, hello, Owl Pellets crew. We are back. And today we've got some exciting conversations with Cassie from the University of Idaho. And I'm here, Marshall Baker from Oklahoma State, and my sidekick, Kate Shoulders from Arkansas, a little woo pig over there. So we're excited today to give you some ideas, ag teachers. We know your job is tough. We know that SAEs are a big part of your job and trying to figure that out, and Cassie's an expert in that, and so it'll be neat to kind of hear some of her take. Cassie, as we start, just give us an overview of your research and how that interest came about in this study. What are the keys to this research you've done?
Excellent. I'm excited to be here and talk about SAEs because I'm really passionate about what SAEs can do for students and what they did for students in my program. So I taught high school for 11 years, and then I went to grad school, and a recurring theme in what I was finding was, what is SAE supposed to do? And I know that it's hard to incorporate SAE, but I tried very hard as a teacher to make this an essential component of everything we were doing. And when I got into grad school, I thought, well, why? Is SAE fulfilling the mission that it was intended to when it was started, and has it evolved into a new mission? And so this was a historical paper in which I looked at a lot of really old documents and tried to find out what SAE was originally intended to be and then how that shifted into a modern ag program.
Excellent. Well, and I think about my father's SAE. That SAE actually turned into our family farm. And I know that my SAE was so incredibly different. As we look at what did you find? So looking in this documents, what are the shifts that have happened in SAE for us today?
So what we really kind of found is that SAE was one of the foundational components of why all of career and technical education started. It was the desire for students to have those transferable skills. And when started, Rufus Stimson kind of had that thought that this would be something that they could learn in the classroom and then they'd take it home and have a direct application on their farms for our agricultural education students, but that they would be able to learn in the classroom and then take that knowledge home and use that as kind of an authentic assessment. And over time, there's been kind of a shift. So as vocational education changed, specifically in the 1960s, we started seeing SAE being talked about as an educational component itself. And those shifts occurred clear through the 70s and 80s to the point where SAE at this point is more broadly seen as an educational tool than it is as an application of what we do in the classroom. And that has implications for ag teachers because it allows us to start thinking about SAEs a little bit differently, and we can see them as an extension of our classroom in an individualized and differentiated way so that our students are learning through their SAE. That's the biggest shift that I found through this research.
So Cassie, if we've heard before that, I teach my students about how Rufus Stimson sold off the cows and the farm of the school that he was at in order to start having these SAEs shift to home. I think the quote that I saw was that the 50-man farm was a rarity, but the 50-student school farm was not, and so they thought it was not preparing students to work on their farms at home. So, but now we see that kind of shifting back. Students don't work on farms at home. So, how are teachers navigating that, or what? I always wonder about that. Gosh, did Rufus make the right decisions way back when, and have we come full circle? Is it time to put back, school farms in order for SAEs to happen? So I'm just curious as to your thoughts on that after you've been looking at the history of it.
Well, I think you're exactly right, Kate. I think that it's been that there was a one-man farm back when Rufus Stimson shifted this to an individualized approach. We don't see one-man farms anymore. We're seeing broader scale agriculture in order to meet the needs of a growing population. And so by allowing students to shift back to kind of a larger model where they're learning those transferable skills through their SAEs, in whatever way is being used by industry. I mean, that was the big call, is that they needed to learn the skills that would help them in industry. And so the focus, I think, for a teacher now is allowing students to learn skills through their SAE and allowing that to be those hands-on learning opportunities rather than learn this and then go home and try it. Because our students in most settings won't have that at home as their occupation in the future.
So as we think, you know, I hear a lot of people will describe SAEs as experiences to enhance and augment classroom instruction. So if you're a teacher listening to this and I'm teaching you about soil profiles, there should be a way to go see that in action, and that's an SAE. But I see another camp that's very committed to the fact that this is work-based learning. And so just going and doing some neat project at home around soils isn't going to cut it. You've got to be in the industry. You've either got to be working for the industry, you've got to be engaged in entrepreneurship in the industry. It has to be development of work-based learning for skills you are going to use in the workplace. What's your take on that, Cassie, as we head in the future? Where do you stand on that?
And I think you're right that we do need to make sure that these are translating into work-based skills, especially with the nature of CTE. And I believe that as we're carefully creating pathways and vetting those through industry, we're helping to determine the skills that students should be learning in their classroom, and then those skills are the ones that translate to the SAE. So using your state's standards and objectives and the pathways that have been created and the ties to industry through that helps us to substantiate that SAEs maintain their work-based learning status.
And so would you make the argument that, you know, if I were to say we're in a different time, instead, we just need to augment classroom instruction with these projects and greenhouses and school farms, and we can probably let go of this home project because they don't really exist anymore. Students aren't on farms like they used to be. Make the argument against that. Why are SAEs so vital?
Well, I think that we still need production agriculture. And for many students, they will go into production agriculture in whatever realm that is, whether that's on a home farm or whether that's on a larger scale operation. And allowing them to learn those skills in whatever facet is absolutely critical. And maybe the words home-based have kind of lost their luster and lost their relevance. It's not so much home-based, it's individualized learning. And what that allows us to do is for each student to look at their individual interests and talents and to gain the skills which will translate into a career in agriculture. And maybe it's not at home, but for many students it still is. And so using the terms transferable industry skills might be a better use than just home-based projects. But certainly they should be individualized so that every student has the chance to have a tailored program of instruction to their interest in agriculture.
So Cassie, you were mentioning some components there about production ag. And I'm thinking about the teachers that we have here in Arkansas, and then again when I was an ag teacher. And a lot of students, they are in ag classes for reasons other than an interest in production ag. I know a friend of mine, he was an ag teacher, and he had a student that bred tarantulas. And, you know, we've had students that they babysit. That's what they do, or they take care of the family pets, or they work at McDonald's, and that's their SAE. Is there a place for those non-production ag projects within your realm of what you see SAE, successful SAEs being?
I think that there's a misnomer about what a successful SAE is. In my mind, if a student is learning skills that will translate to the workplace and it's tailored to them, that it's successful. It might not translate to proficiency awards or Stars Over America, but if a student has a genuine interest in something that can directly relate to agriculture in whatever way that is, so whether that's through agribusiness or whether that's through some of those non-traditional routes to tie to production agriculture, that we're really creating barriers if we see SAEs as only production agriculture. I had a student who did a research project with ferrets as her SAE and another one that raised worms for an SAE. And then I had one that contracted to build websites for local, you know, cattle sales. So she was never really involved in production agriculture prior to that, but she found a tie between what she loved, which was working on the computer, and agriculture, and used that as her SAE. She now owns a successful web design company, And while she might not always work with agriculture, her SAE and helping her get set some goals and getting some specific skills directly translated to what she learned, and she helped agriculture in the process.
So overall, if you could, what do you think Rufus Stimson is thinking right now, right? If you could interview Rufus at this point, is he rolling in his grave? Is he pleased with what we've done thus far, with what he started? What do you think?
Well, I would have to think that if he was progressive, which it seems like he was, that he'd be pleased with where we are. I don't think we are at the original intent of what an SAE was designed to be. It was designed that you'll learn something in the classroom, you'll go home, you'll directly apply it, and now we're using it for the learning of skills that are both in agriculture and then a lot of those transferable skills related to work ethic and record keeping and skills that translate to jobs outside of agriculture. But I like to think that he would be progressive enough to be proud of what we're doing, and especially for all of the ag teachers who are working so hard to make sure that SAE stays a critical part of what they do every day in their classroom. Because there are many statements from some of those founding fathers about how foundational this was to agricultural education.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Smith. As we, you know, as we look at SAEs, and I think you've helped, if I were driving to school today and headed to teach, I think just asking myself the question, is every student connected to this content in some way individually? Is there something that every student can connect to? And so I really appreciate your approach to that. We appreciate your research very much and digging into what the SAEs are as we advance. Ag teachers all over the country are figuring these experiences out. So thank you so much for joining us here in Pelletland. We can get this podcast now out to classrooms as one of our new pellets. So thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Well, on behalf of the team, Dr. Myers, Dr. Shoulders, and myself, we appreciate you guys, and we will see you next time.
We know agricultural educators.
And we know that the job is hard work.
Here to make your job easy is Owl Pellets, where we are regurgitating information just for you.